Welcome to episode 38 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z, sort of.
Alright guys, so last week we spun and got TJ's Choice. Last episode, whatever.
Yes.
We review it weekly, but it's not necessarily how it's going to be. I'm not the just
there. And we don't actually do kind of weekly.
Yeah, this, mostly weekly. I'd say a good portion of the time it is weekly that we're physically sitting down.
Sometimes. This one took us 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we also ended up doing 4 seasons instead of 2.
And then we did a month for One Piece.
Yeah, well, 180 episodes or something. That was nuts.
I'm just saying, it's not always weekly.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so last episode, we spun the wheel, and we got TJ's Choice or TJ's Pick. I can't remember what does what.
Choice.
Choice. Okay, so Choice is within the category.
Within the category.
You even said it. I'm so happy. Category, not letter. Anyway, so he decided to pick Full Metal Panic, probably after me nudging him in the right direction.
Yeah, well, it was either that or what was it? There was Full Metal Alchemist.
Which we've all seen.
And I was also looking at, apparently, Fairy Tail.
Yeah.
Is another
interesting
big one.
Definitely interesting, but it's...
I see that one around all the time, though, so it's like one of those ones that also, if you're doing an anime review...
At some point, it definitely makes sense to do
that. So, but this one seemed like the most classic of them.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, even though... So I've seen the first and second season. Mm-hmm. I own them for... Owned the third season. I only watched a couple episodes of it and never got around to it. But I'm surprised at how much, in my opinion, the show finished very strongly. I mean, I say finished. There's going to be another season at some point. It's not technically finished.
Okay, so they are doing another
season. Yeah, so I started reading the manga after this one. By manga, I mean light novel. It's just cut up into manga chapters. I'm a pirate. And there's 2 light novels left to adapt.
Right.
And what is the name of the... X Beck? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Is the studio that did the 4th season. Each season was a different studio that made it.
You can tell.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely towards the end. The last season was... It was huge different in art style. That being said, there's also a 13-year gap between the 3rd season and 4th season.
Right. But when I saw started the last season of it, and I saw that Funimation singing in it, I was like, I rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to be terrible. Because Funimation, it just never...
It's real hit and miss.
Yeah. Funimation, especially...
Mostly miss, I would say.
Especially with a show that's supposed to be, like, mature.
Yeah, and in the beginning, it really wasn't. Yeah. Especially in the 2nd season.
So, I mean, it's kind of like... Funimation, I thought they were going to ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, but, well, anyway, so anyway. Real quick, while we're still on it, there's another scene that should be adapted at some point. X Beck said there is going to be a finish to the series, but they haven't announced when it's going to be released
or
if they're even working on it.
Because I did a little research after finishing it, trying to see if they were going to do another season.
Yeah.
Because I was pissed.
Yeah, it was, it's not necessarily a cliffhanger, but it's... There's more to do. It's not done yet.
Yeah, no. They did finish it as if that could be the end of the series.
Yeah, that was definitely a good ending to the season.
Yeah.
But you need more.
We'll get to it. But if that's where that would end it, it would have been... I would have hated it.
Yeah. Anyway, so premise of the series. The series follows Sosuke Sagura. He's an anti-terrorist SRT response. He uses mechs, but he's also a child soldier. A soldier since, I think, 10 or something. 8. Yeah, there you go. And it follows him throughout the series, and they're mercenaries. They work on this mercenary team called Mithril. Mm-hmm. Different agencies hire them to do certain stuff. So, like, if there's a terrorist thing happening in Japan, then Japan might hire them to come in and take care of it.
Right.
Their technology is, like, 10 years above everyone else's, more advanced. So their mechs are a little quicker.
Oh, Mithril's. Well,
Mithril's, and when I say more advanced than everyone else's, I'm really saying more advanced than nations.
I thought you meant 10 years further than us, like, in real time. Oh, no, I was like, what? What are you talking about?
We'll get there. I can dream.
Okay. You need magic, apparently.
And very early you find out that the reason why the technology is because there's these special people called... Whispers. And at some point, very early, he is tasked with guarding Konami Chidori. And for the most part, that's how most of the series is.
Yeah, Konami Chidori is the...
love interest, for sure.
No, well...
Secondary character.
I was about to say female protagonist in this. And she's a whisper. Which, honestly, doesn't come up all that often.
No. Believe it or not. People want her, but...
Yeah, it's always in the background.
Really, yeah, it's in the background, and she never really gets used for it too much. I mean, at the end of the first season, she uses it herself, her whisper stuff.
But that's the last time she really uses it. I mean, they hint at it here and there, but...
You do see in the end of the 4th season, she's working on some sort of project. Yes. You don't really find out what that is.
Right. So, that's the premise.
Yeah, for the most part, that's the premise.
How we're going to have to do this, I guess...
Season by season?
You're going to have to take it season by season, because they are... So different.
Yeah, and I mean, it's intentional.
Yeah, no, I know. But there's a couple things I want to talk about before we get into it. So, you know how I take points off for mechs?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take it off for this one.
I was hoping.
Because there are, like, strings of episodes here. Their mechs aren't even involved in it. So, I mean...
The second season doesn't have any mechs, but that's more of a comedy.
Yeah, the mechs are used sparingly, and they're not... It's
more or less for fight scenes. Like, all right, this is the climactic battle scene.
This is not a mech anime.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, there's mechs in it, and they use it to fight and stuff, but it's more of a war kind of thing. They're used as tools of war. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really see this anime, so I'm not going to actually take a point off for it. So if you're going to do a mech anime, this is the way to do it for me anyway. because I did not hate this one, and I hate... Because mechs usually use the mechs as, like, plot devices and stuff like that, and it's always...
it's shiny and cool. Yeah. And this is as deep as the show gets. That is a lot of mech animes.
Yeah, and... Every episode, they're in the mech, and there's always a fight scene. You can always tell where an episode's going in a mech one. That's why I hate them.
Easily. And I can agree with every bit of that.
And they're usually fighting giant monsters, which is also annoying.
Yeah, that's annoying.
All right. So there's the second thing I wanted to talk about, because overall, throughout the whole thing, is the fan service.
There's a lot of it, for sure.
Yes, but in various degrees.
Yeah, that's true. Like, sometimes it's just a little panty shot. Sometimes Sosuke's just grabbing her titty on accident.
Yeah, sometimes there's full-blown nudity.
Yeah, in the third season, I was really surprised. I'm sitting, I think it was his first or second episode, and bam, sisters are naked and touching each other, and I'm like, what?
I mean, and there's a lot of shower scenes.
Yeah, that's pretty common in anime.
So, here's the thing. The first season had a lot of, like, the panties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Second season was more of a comedy one, so there was a lot of...
There was bathing, like, beach scenes, and then the traditional...
But it was used in more of a comedy sense.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't really like, oh, look at my titties.
And then third season was straight out mature.
Yes.
So that was... And
they turned it up a huge notch, not just in nudity, but in maturity level.
Yeah, and then in the last season, the newest one, Funimation got involved with it, so everything got toned back down.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very strange on it, but the fan service in this ranges in variety, which is very odd. This is just an interesting show.
Yeah, it doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't really take away or give anything to the show. It's something you sort of grow to expect with anime.
But this is an interesting...
But it is odd that it comes and goes.
This is an interesting show to just review in general, because it's like you're watching four different animes.
Yeah, I mean, it's one cohesive plot line, but yes, there are jarring differences in each season.
Now, the last thing I want to talk about overall is the detail in the actions that they do. Like, there's, for instance, the one instance, this guy is on his computer... Takes out a CD, he opens up the side of the computer compartment, pushes the CD down, you hear him, watch him physically push it down, push it back in, and they just show every step of actions.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's probably unneeded. Like, it's kind of refreshing.
How many times do they show, you know, one of the girls getting dressed and putting her underwear on and then going underneath and re-snapping it for no reason?
Just to show it.
Yeah. It's just, I didn't understand, I guess they wanted to go for more realistic details.
That, and it could also be screen time. Hey, we gotta fill this 23 minute slot, we can get an extra 5 seconds here.
It felt really odd, because that kind of persisted almost throughout the whole series, and I just found that every time they would go into one of the scenes completely and utterly unnecessary. Why are you, every detail of this girl getting dressed or undressed, or putting the CD in here, or...
Doing some sort of mundane...
Yeah, I mean, work. I guess it works if you're just building the world, and, like, if maybe that's just...
Because also trying to, maybe not with the girls getting dressed, but with the mundane stuff, it's also grounding it in reality.
I mean, I guess that's what I'm just thinking. Maybe it's a story, a story choice from artists for some things, and then other times they just want to linger on naked girls. So.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
So, yeah. All right.
Gotta get your sales.
That's all the overall things I wanted to talk about. I found that last one. The fan service kind of went out throughout the whole thing, and then the mech. So I guess we can jump into the first season.
Yeah, so in the first season, pretty early on, you meet Sosuke and his teammates. You meet the Mithril captain, Testarossa. Mm. She's like a 16-year-old girl, but she's a Wizard, so it kind of makes sense for a position of power. Mm. Sort of. It was but sort of.
She's the other Objective 5.
Yeah.
Objective 5 girl in this, yes. There's two.
For the most part, there's just
two. They're just the two, so they just want to show them kind of...
Yeah, you see them a lot.
Yeah.
And then you find out that we find out that Konami Chitauri's schoolgirl and is a Whispered, so he has to go and protect her. Because there's a terrorist organization that's interested in capturing her.
Yeah.
And you can't let them get them, because then they have, you know, the technology that the Whispered have. So the Whispered, I don't know if we explained this earlier, have this sort of black technology genetic
code. They just know stuff.
Yeah, that... each Whispered's different, we find out later on.
Right.
But Konami, after they steal her in the first season... Yeah. They find out that she's science and something else.
I don't remember.
Science and math.
Science and math. So I don't really want to go through the entire season by season because there's a lot to take in here. I just kind of want to go over the overall themes.
Yeah, so the overall theme of the first one is serious, but also funny.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. This the first season I thought was kind of a mess.
Yeah, it was a little more all over the place than the other seasons.
I don't think they knew what they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. In that season, and it was a lot more serious than the other ones.
Yeah, the first season was a mixture of school, day-to-day life.
Right.
And mech battles, because they're trying to get Konami, and they got to defend. It really was a mess between those two
and,
things.
Because, in the school life, Sosuke is over-serious and, blowing stuff up. He's over-serious, paramilitary.
You find out, as the series goes on, the reason I'm explaining it for the viewers, though. The reason being for that is that why he's overly tactical, overly military-esque, is because he's been in the military since he was 8.
Right.
He doesn't know normal life. He doesn't have normal social interactions with people.
Right. But when he's with the military counterparts of it, it's all serious and stuff. But when he goes to Tokyo, and he's
it's mostly all fun,
up,
and he's just
blowing up locker because someone put something in it. It was a mix.
He thinks it's a terrorist threat, so he blows it up.
It's just a mix of... what do you guys want to be here? And it was just a complete mess overall.
It was. They tie it up nicely throughout the comedy throughout the second season.
Right.
And then the comedy's all but gone. Well,
I'm saying this show would be forgettable if it was just the first season.
I would even say if it's just the first two.
Well, yeah.
Because I do enjoy the second season a lot.
Right.
But without watching the third and fourth, I probably would have ended up forgetting about it and never went back.
Yeah,
if this didn't come up in the wheel, I probably never would have went back.
Exactly. That's how I feel, too. But yeah, so, essentially, Konami gets kidnapped early on in the first season, which introduces...
Gets a little tested on, you find out what kind of Whisper she is.
So, I mean,
he gets her back.
And we are introduced to the main villain of it.
Gorn,
but I don't understand how he kept coming back to life. Because he kept getting killed.
So, at the end of the first season, he's killed off by, Sosuke's landed
driver. But he's killed, four times throughout
he's
the
really
first...
really only killed once.
They said, in the first... When they first introduced him, Sosuke shot him in the head.
And he's got a scar.
Right.
It grazed him. Clearly, from that...
And then
that
blew
him.
Up, four episodes in.
Landed drivers. And they explain that later on in the third season when you meet him towards the
all
end.
All I know is that
he survived because of his landed
all
driver.
All I know is that they keep killing him off and you think it's going to be a different antagonist. And all of a sudden he's back.
You see him come
back. Did you die?
Well, real quick before we go any further, what's a landed driver?
A landed driver is magic attached to the mech.
For the most part. But that's kind of what the Whispers are there for. Besides furthering technology and making mechs better and faster and lighter and all that. One of them, I believe they mentioned it might have been an American one, but he ended up dying, made a landed driver for Mithril.
Right.
And a landed driver pretty much takes your emotions, if you can pinpoint them to a single point.
It's more your will, I think.
It's more your will.
Think Green Lanterns.
Yeah, that makes sense. But really difficult to do.
Right.
Not as easy as Green Lantern. And it's either for defensive or offensive. So if he shoots a gun, then the bullet is, exponentially more powerful.
Right.
Or it creates an invisible shield. Bullets can't hit you. Can't hit you.
And Mithril only has one, and apparently this other organization has 1,000.
Yeah, they got fucking shitloads of them.
No one else has them, though.
Well, I think that's because there was probably only... They never explained this. This is headcanon. But I think that's because there's probably only two Whispers that can make them.
Okay.
The one died. We know that.
Right.
When he made the AI for it, that's in Sosuke's mech.
Right.
They can't reprogram the AI, so that's why it's
maybe,
stuck to him.
Tessarosa's brother.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Tessarosa, you find out in the third season.
Tessarosa is the captain of Mithril. She's the 16-year-old girl in charge of it.
And her brother, you find out in the third season, is the... One of the leaders in the terrorist
of
group.
The major terrorist
amalgam,
group.
I think is the name.
It's Amalgam and Amalgam's actually the main antagonist throughout the entire series.
You just don't know it until the third season.
Yes, you just don't figure it out too much later.
That's kind of interesting, though. I like that plot.
Sure.
And that was clearly thought out and everything. You just don't find out. It's not like it's a retcon where, this is what happened.
don't know about that, because I guess they kind of, Garen was kind of, but Garen's
skin. Well, we knew in the first season that Garen was like a freelance guy.
Right.
That was working for a terrorist organization.
Right, that's true.
You just never met
that organization. He was just working for other governments on side jobs.
Yeah, and you never met that organization up until.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so essentially, Garen kidnaps her early, and then at the end of the series, he takes over, because Mithril's based in an underground submarine.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so
that always gets the
he ends up taking over the submarine, and then, of course, which is cool that, the last two or three episodes were not mech battles, it was all about the submarine.
Except for the very end of the last episode. Right.
And then it was like, it was
people, more about people.
People inside the sub trying. And then, of course, there's the giant mech battle at the end. And they kill him.
You think they kill him, and you don't see it happen, but they explain, because he's gone for the second season, because the second season's all comedy.
Right. He gets blown up at the end of the first season.
And you find out in the third season that he used his lander driver to protect himself, but he's severely injured. You see him laying in a hospital bed. He doesn't have any arms or legs. He says he's going to die soon anyway.
And essentially, it's just...
That's about it for the first season,
honestly.
It's
just Sosuke's journey with Konami and them two kind of liking each other, but not... And there's little ties if it's in here.
Yeah, you definitely see them starting to care for each other.
Right. And then the second season, there is no military aspect at all. It's all about the school, their school life.
Aspect, it's comedy, it's a bunch of side
pure
stories.
Pure comedy, bunch of weird characters.
That being said, I really do enjoy the second season. Funny. They take everyone's personality, especially Sosuke's, and turn it up to 11.
Right.
My favorite episode was, and it's, for the most part, they're all non-coherent. They don't really go into each other. It's just, each episode's a side story, for the most part. My favorite episode, though, was the rugby one.
Okay.
When he chains this pacifist gigantic rugby to be killers. And their chant before their game, because he's got to train them for the game or whatever, is like, kill, kill, kill. And then they go and play rugby and they're cracking people's skulls and stuff. I loved it. So funny.
I did find it funny, but this one was kind of a mess too, though.
Oh, it was a huge mess.
Second season was a mess too.
More of a mess than the first one,
I'd say. Yeah, it is. It almost felt like we don't really want to do the military aspect of it.
It kind of felt like what's funny is the second season's all canon.
Yeah.
Now, in a regular show, you would think that that's all filler, none of that's real. It's all canon, it's in the light novel.
No, because you kind of need it, too, because it builds it builds the relationship between
Sosuke and Konami.
So it's not like it's just, oh, this is just our little side thing that we're doing. No,
Need it to a certain point, but it also feels almost like the manga illustrator, writer. It almost feels like it's side stories. You could do the story.
Yeah, I kind of got bored with the main story here. I just want to tell these stories right now, and then he did a whole season of it.
And you know what? There's really no much more point to go into the second season other than it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Each story's really incoherent.
Honestly, believe it or not, though, I thought the first season was better.
Yeah.
The first season was a bad wreck, that the story just, there was no story
in the second season.
So,
it just wasn't.
It was just a bunch of side quests no point, so.
Anyway, so, the end of the second season, all funny and stuff, and then it ramps up to serious mode.
Oh, yeah. When we get into the third season, it goes from, like, jokey kids kind of thing. No, I wouldn't say kids, because the last episode of the comedy thing was them getting... Sosuke getting a biological weapon.
That was hilarious.
And everybody thinking
that deserves a little talking about.
They thought they were going to all die because of a biological weapon that he accidentally ordered. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, no, it wasn't a biological weapon. It just destroys everyone's clothing.
Certain kinds of polyester or something like that.
So,
silicone, I don't know what it was.
And by the end of the episode, everyone was in their underwear except for Sosuke. Which is, you know what, now that I think about it, there was no fan service with him whatsoever.
Yeah, probably all towards...
No. I mean, like... Even in that last episode, all the guys were in there, not him. He's the only one excluded from the fan service throughout the whole thing.
It's true.
So I found
he had a biological suit on.
Yeah, so it was strange. So yeah, it was very strange.
It was funny.
Then we go into the third season. Alright, let's clarify something. First season is Full Metal Panic. Second season is Full Metal Panic
Fumofu.
But the third season is called Full Metal Panic Second Raid.
The Second Raid.
So it's kind of the real second season.
Yeah, they even acknowledge that in the title.
Yeah.
The Second Raid.
So,
it's like the continuation of the first season,
right,
the second season.
So it's a little confusing for people.
Yeah, if you're just looking at it, it looks like the Second Raid
would
be the second season.
Anyone who listens to this is like, isn't that the second season, the third season? I just want to clarify that.
And then the fourth is Invisible Victory.
Is it Invisible Victory?
Yeah.
I thought it was Invisible War, but...
No, Invisible Victory.
Okay. All right, anyway. So the third season, Second Raid, goes from kind of almost kiddie to straight up mature.
Really mature, really quick. Yeah.
Like like you said earlier, right in the beginning, they introduced two antagonists of two twins.
Yeah, females, and they're probably 16 or 17.
They're sisters, and they're completely naked.
Oh, I think they're in their 20s. Anyway, completely naked in a shower together.
And hanging all over. Weird. Yeah, it was very strange.
And I don't think you realized they were sisters then, but you found out a little later. And then you're like, oh, wait, that was weird.
You didn't know they were sisters then? They were twins.
I mean, they definitely looked the same.
They were twins.
It's a cartoon.
They even you can even tell them apart because one had a mole on this side, one had a mole on the other side.
Oh, so they're not identical.
No, well, that was how you told them apart. But they were identical twins. Farther.
You find out that those
they
twins...
They were mirror images. They were.
You find out a little later that those twins were proteges of Goran.
Goran, yes. The main antagonist from the first season. And then
they're trying to protect him and at the same time take down Mithril.
They're working, but they're also working with the Amalgam.
With Amalgam, yeah.
So there's a lot of moving pieces in this one. And Amalgam...
It all worked, though.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel like there were any plot holes, no issues.
The second season is... Second Raid. Third season, whatever, is kind of amazing, honestly.
Oh, man. So my favorite part of... What's your favorite part of the film? Because I have a very distinct favorite part.
I don't have a distinct favorite part.
Fine. My favorite part is in the sixth episode when Sosuke's getting his hair cut.
Oh, right.
Not by Chidori, because he goes to get a haircut at a hair salon.
Hair salon.
And then it doesn't work out, and later on he gets his haircut by Chidori. But before he gets his haircut by Chidori, you find out his worldview, his issues, and the reason why he's so overly tactical and can't live a normal life. So, like, he has super hyper anxiety whenever anyone, like, any kind of danger. So, like, the guy goes to put a towel around his neck because he's cutting his hair.
Right.
He's not strangling me. He's not strangling me. Yeah. He's not strangling me. Like, it's kind of interesting to see that from his point of view, even though it's only for a couple seconds. I think it's, like, 30 seconds or a minute. It was really interesting to see that.
Well,
I very much like
it. It's a very interesting character development for him, but honestly, I liked it better that his relationship with Chidori got to a point where he realizes that he feels this way for her because he gets ordered to away from her detail protection.
Yeah, to leave because nothing's really happening.
Yeah, so they pull him away and he completely breaks down.
Yeah, he loses his shit.
He comes become completely useless and he realizes...
Well, on top of that, not just... him realizing his love for her and that he has to... He's also being beaten down early on in the third season, I should say. Because he goes on some missions real quick, and it's like an episode back, and everyone on his mission team dies.
Oh, yeah.
And they sort of build that up through the first season a tiny bit, but very heavily in the third season do they build up him getting depressed
from
all his friends and, or, you know, comrades dying. And,
right.
And him not being able to train a driver properly.
Oh, yeah, he
gets very frustrated with that.
He hates his machine very much so.
So it's interesting to see him fall into that depression. And you were right that when he gets ordered away, it's sort of like the cliffhanger. As soon as he gets pulled away from Konami, that's it. He jumps off the cliff.
Yeah, he just falls
it's
apart.
Just downward spiral.
And throughout the whole first couple seasons, he's like unstoppable guy.
Yeah,
and
first two seasons for sure.
And then in this season, he just loses left and right.
Yeah.
So it's like... I mean, of course, he overcomes at the end.
Yeah, he overcomes it at the end, but with Konami's help.
Oh, of course. He wouldn't have been able to without Konami's help.
Now, right before he gets help from Konami, he's sort of broken. He left the team. They got a mission there in Hong Kong.
Right.
And he's just walking around. Yeah, he almost hires a hooker at one point. That was interesting.
That looks like Konami.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And that he also had
gets a little drunk.
He had a bottle of alcohol. He's never drank alcohol before.
Yeah, and he probably gets a couple shots down before he gets it out, and he's done with it.
Yeah, and he just throws it away. He's like...
And then he figures out some clues that have been left out by the twins.
Right.
That... To go somewhere.
The twins are, by the way, samurai ninja people
who
assassinate people who can't be killed. One of them tries to kill Kaname when Sasuke brought back, and she gets killed off by Amalgama. It's very complicated. It's hard to go into all the details, but
it is a bit. By the way, we're only following Sosuke's and Kaname's plot line right now, most part.
There's
other plot lines with other characters we're not mentioning, because although they're very interesting and well thought out, this is a bit more important.
Right. Or else we don't want to spend 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I want to get to the point real quick that I was trying to make. He ends up finding Goran through the clues that were left throughout the city. Goran. And, you know, he goes to the room, he starts talking to Goran, and he's freaking out because Goran's alive and he thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Goran's dying.
Yeah.
He pretty much says that.
Right.
And he eggs Sosuke on to kill him.
Yeah.
And God, that was good.
He said he killed Kaname, so...
Yeah, he eggs him on. He's like, yeah, we killed her as soon as you left her. We got it done. She's dead.
Uh-huh.
And Sosuke loses his shit and loses his mag into him.
And then, which apparently there was a bomb tied to his EKG machine.
Yes.
So that was all planned out to kill him.
That was amazing.
Yeah. And then afterwards, he comes out and... Because he kind of...
He jumps out the window.
Yeah, but he kind of abandoned his mission earlier in this thing.
Yes.
And he runs into two of the soldiers. Like, what happened to you? Where are you? Because what's her name? The woman superior officer.
Mal,
yeah.
Yeah.
She hadn't told anyone that he had abandoned
his mission. Yeah, had, like, defected pretty much.
Yeah, so... And so when those two soldiers, it looked like he was going to kill them.
Yeah.
He looked like he was done.
He was done with bullshit And they sort of lead on to that earlier in that season, that their new leader, I forget his name, black dude.
Yeah.
Leads on a little bit saying that Sosuke is going to have a choice at some point.
Right.
Either he fixes himself, or he's probably going to defect with him.
Right. And then it looks like it's going to happen, and then, of course,
Chidori shows up. Which is, that was a bit of a gotcha moment. They could have led up to that a little bit better. They could have had an episode where she was making her way to Hong Kong.
They kind of did, though. There was an instance where, they were showing the guys who were in charge of the Hong Kong mission, and then you could hear Chittery's voice in the background.
Oh, okay. Maybe
yeah,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, you probably didn't, because it was very short.
That's awesome, then. But never mind. I take that back.
They did show her.
You didn't know she was working on something, even without that, because there was a plot in one of the episodes where...
Nice.
Anyway, there was a little plot, and she figured something out, but you didn't know what she was going to do.
Right.
But yeah, I guess that works out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess...
But I love that he... Got him. Kill him.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
I mean, he's only killed him 7 times by the point, but...
That's true, but this one was final.
That's the thing. It was. I guess we should talk about the main villain of the third season.
Yeah, sure. The girls, or is it... No, is it the guy?
The guy.
The balding guy?
Yeah.
So, there's this balding guy, I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either.
He works for Amalgam, but he's definitely, like, a lesser part of Amalgam, for sure.
Right.
Like, he reports to Testor, for the most part. And he's nuts. Dude's fucking crazy.
He is absolutely insane. Like,
and it's kind of fun.
It is kind of fun.
Kind of disgusting at times.
Yeah. Definitely.
But kind of fun.
Yeah. He's just completely... You're better off just watching that one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away. I mean, you shouldn't be listening to this anyway. If you want to watch the series, we just gave away the entire plotline.
Yeah,
but there's some stuff we'll leave to you.
I mean, in the end, it all comes down to a final fight with Mechs anyway. Mm. So, even with the great storylines and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, the third season overall is very mature, very...
Solid.
Solid, and it's really makes a... It was turning my opinion around completely on the show. It was turning into one of my shows.
I'm really happy we ended up doing it with you.
Yeah, me too.
Because if not, man...
This would be a
even
different...
I would have... And I'm a fan of the show. I own the I probably would have given it a worse score than I would have thought of... I would have given it before I watched it again. Only because after rewatching it, I feel like my memories are more nostalgia.
Right.
Watching it when I was a kid. Because this came out like...
Right. Makes sense. So, I mean, yeah, it was a good idea to watch the third and fourth season. It got really, really good.
It got fantastic.
And then the fourth season kind of tones it back down.
Yeah.
From overly mature, but not to the point where it's bad either. It's just, like, I mean, there's no... Not a lot of fan service. There's at all. There's not any nudity. I mean, but it's still solid straight through. And it's breakneck speed. There's like no side story in
there. At all.
At the fourth story. It's just straight through story. And it's really, really good.
It is. Oh, real quick before we get into the fourth season. In the third season, there was a point with Kaname when Testor.
Mm-hmm.
And this was during her little plot thing. I'm not getting into that too much.
This is right after she was about to be killed by one of the sisters got killed.
But when he shows up, he ends up, like, dissing her.
Oh, yeah, that was sexual assault.
For sure. Oh, for sure. But I love that they didn't just do it and then shrug it off.
Oh, no,
She has serious issues with the fact that he kissed her. And you see her, like, trying to get clean by rubbing her mouth to get it off.
Uh-huh.
And not only do you see it in that episode, you see it later on when she meets up with Sosuke.
And
she rubs her mouth because she wants to get that kiss off.
It comes back in the fourth season, which is even more impressive, because it's been 13 years at this point.
Yeah, in our life.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? But it's been 13 years since the last series was made.
Yeah.
So, and she shows him, she touches her lips and remembering that kiss, which is really impressive story detail.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, the fourth season...
You also see her, by the way, as a strong female protagonist.
Yeah. Chittering.
Because although it's bothering her, she can push it down and get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, she survived against a ninja assassin by herself.
Just a taser.
Yeah, with just a taser. She didn't win, but...
She lived.
But she lived, that's exactly. That's my point.
Maybe that person was going for blood, and she lived.
Yeah, she somehow survived. I mean, this ninja assassin even took down a hardened agent at the time.
Yes.
Before coming after her, so I mean...
Very well done.
So, yeah.
Good plot development.
I don't want to go into any details into the fourth season, really. I just want to say, it's story-wise, just breakneck, straight on. And... ends on a very crappy cliffhanger.
Well, it's not only because there's another season to watch right now.
At the end of, at the beginning of the fourth season, essentially the bad guys win and they get Chittery.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, they got Chittery towards the beginning of the season.
That's what I mean. They win.
Oh, yeah. But they keep her at the end of the season.
And they keep her at the end of the season. And at the end, she's pretty much saying goodbye to Sosuke and says, never mind. No, I'm not saying goodbye. Come get me.
Yeah.
And it kind of leaves.
Which is another huge. Character development for her. Because up until then, they were really building up her not wanting Sosuke to come after her.
Because
everyone she knows is getting hurt.
You're right. And then, and Sosuke is completely separated from... Mithril's pretty much destroyed in the fourth season.
Yeah, very early on. They get the administration higher-ups just taken out.
And the only ones that survive are, like, the main cast. Mm-hmm.
And there's a traitor. Not going to mention him.
Yeah, no.
But that was... I didn't expect that. It's... All right, we'll talk about it off there. I don't want to give it away to you.
I'm trying to... I remember. Okay.
I didn't expect that person
to be a traitor. You know why I didn't remember? It's because it happened 10 episodes into the 12th episode season, and I'm like, this is really
late.
And
you just assumed that the person had died, and then, bam, he's there. But they don't, like, draw super big focus on the fact that person's back.
It was so late in the season, I was like... This has got to be a fake out because what's the point of having?
I thought it was a fake out for quite a bit too. Apparently not
because of the way it ended though. Kind of ended on a cliffhanger. Now he's pretty much going to be the probably going to be the antagonist of the.
Yeah, I think that person's going to be more of the antagonist in the second season, or the fifth season.
Yeah,
or at the very least a mid season antagonist, and then Sosuke will go after.
Oh yeah, it'll probably Tesseract's brother.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know.
Overall, I'm giving this show like an 8.5 out of a 10. Maybe if it was just in the first two seasons, which is what we were originally, would have been much lower.
Oh yeah, it was a 6.
But the third and fourth just fucking blew it out of the water.
So here's how I'm gonna have to rate it. First seasons are a 6.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
The last two seasons are 9.
Definitely.
But all together, it brings it down to about an 8.
That's fair. I really, even though the first two seasons were off and weird and a bit of a mess, it's almost a good thing because you get that plot development, you learn the character's backstory. It feels like that's like Dragon Ball, and then the last two seasons that are out right now, third and fourth, is Dragon Ball. That's kind of what it feels like to me. Dragon Ball's fun and cool, but it's really just back character story. Nothing crazy happens. No one's dying. No one important anyway.
I mean, Dragon Ball is better than Dragon Ball Z at some points. At some points.
Let's be real. If you pick the weakest spots of Z and compare it to the strongest part of Ball, sure.
Not even that much. I mean, like, the tournaments are fun as hell in Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the strongest part of Dragon Ball.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to
say.
Who doesn't
love tournaments? We've talked about this before.
So,
by the way, I just saw the Broly movie. It was okay.
I haven't seen a single episode. Why are we doing Dragon Ball Metal Panic?
Because that's what we do. All right, so we gave our ratings.
Yeah, I think that's all we needed to talk about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's good. We left out a lot, by the way. Again, I think I'm saying this
I think
for the
you,
second time
I
now.
Think you should go watch it.
Yeah.
Honestly, go watch it. What
we gotta do is if something's really good, we need to say go watch it at the beginning of the show, not at the end. That's like the third time.
Well, here's the problem with that. We don't talk about this beforehand.
Yeah, we just show up and do it.
Yeah, so because we don't know how the other person's going to feel. Like, coming into this...
I was really excited to find out that you liked it, by the way.
Yeah.
Really excited.
You came in thinking I was going to hate it.
Oh, I knew it. And then he liked it, and I was like,
so,
win for the mechs.
That's it. I'm not giving it to a mech.
All right, guys, so
we're not spinning the wheel right yet. Not quite
no,
yet.
No, not yet. Good.
There's one thing we got to do beforehand.
What's up?
All right, so Full Metal Panic or Fantastic Children?
Oh, Full Metal Panic. Jesus. I'm happy you remember that, because I forgot.
Yeah, no, I remembered. But yeah, so I wanted to keep that, try and keep them going every episode.
I definitely like that. We
gotta keep going. Going into it, going into this wheel, last time we spun for G, you remember what we got?
No, I don't. I don't think I even deleted it off the wheel. What was it?
Gossick.
Gossick. Did we delete that? Let's see that. No, I didn't, so let's delete that real quick.
That was the Sherlock Holmes girl.
Yeah, that was terrible. Fuck that.
You always say that to animes, but you gave it an actual average review.
But it was bad.
You gave it an average review.
Probably because you talked me into it.
which means your memory of some shows is kind of...
I work third shift and I drink a lot, all right? My memory's fucked.
It's just funny how you remember some things. Like, you'll give
some of it's nostalgia, and like Full Metal Panic, I really liked it as a kid. And then we rewatched it and I was like, first two seasons were rough.
Right.
And then I watched the rest of it and it was fantastic. But Gossick, man, I guess it's the opposite. I had bad nostalgia.
But... There is, I don't remember what it was, but we were...
It was something else, yeah, because this is the second time you brought this
up. Yeah, how you you actually liked that, the one that he said, now that one was crap. But you actually were like, oh yeah, I like that, and he reviews. I was like...
You know what it might be? Is, towards the end of a show, towards the climax, things typically get good, even if it's a mediocre to bad show. They get better towards the climax. So I could be remembering the show as a whole, and like, oh yeah, that kind of sucked. But in the middle of the review... I just finished it a day ago, so my memories are fresh of the club. Maybe that's it.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just inconsistent, your opinions.
I'm consistently consistent.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, now we're spinning for G.
Yes, let's
category.
And
turn off the clapping.
There goes the clapping.
Look at that.
Oh, crap.
Ghost in the Shell standalone flex.
I'm going to have to actually, we're going to have to actually do two reviews.
Yeah? Why?
We're going to have to do the movie first, because I've never seen it.
Which one?
The first movie.
The animated movie?
Yeah.
Not the live-action movie that came out?
No,
that's absolutely
the
trash.
Actual animated okay. Movie. Because I don't know anything about it, and I know that takes place before Standalone's Complex. And I was afraid we were going to get it because of that reason.
That's funny.
So, yeah, we're going to have to do two reviews. We're going to have to do the Ghost in the Shell movie and the actual anime itself.
Yeah, that's fine. So we'll probably have a short episode.
Yeah, we're going to do the second episode of anime.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Because, obviously, that's our other show that does...
Yes.
That we only did one review of so far. But, yeah, we're going to have to do it that way.
All right, that works. See you next time, guys.
See yous.